This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The
Johnson talks about his goals for the season and did so with the Fox Sports 1 speak crowd.
I'm going to have 7 interceptions. I want to have 3 forced fumbles. I mean, 10 turnovers. Okay. At least. I want to have
55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies.
No touchdowns given up. No games over 50 yards.
55 cooks, 100 tater tots, 100 pizzas, 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees.
First team all pro. Pro Bowl again. I want to get in the end zone 3 times for sure. I got to get that too.
Ooh. Wait, hold on, man. Hold on. In the offseason, do you get hand surgery or something? Because you know, I know you can't catch, so I don't know how you're going to get 7. What?
Poor Jalen Johnson.
But I like
I never say poor Jalen Johnson. That was so, I mean, that was going up against like the vampire council on Twilight.
55 wings, 55 steaks, 55 pancakes, 55 pasta, 55 peppers, and 155 taters.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, hand surgery is something that some people really do need because their hands don't work. Hands like feet. These are things you try to avoid. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Along with Mark Grody, who is in for Layla Rahimi, who has the day off. I am Marshall Harris. This is Rahimi and Harris. We got a lot to get to today, starting with that Cubs fiasco from a day ago. Lots of questions surrounding the Northsiders. But before we do that, you can text us, 312-644-6767. Also, you can watch us as well. Log on to twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Behind the glass, we've got Ray Diaz. We've got Tyler Farengol. Also, Brandon Fryer. Down the hall, the video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, Matt and I all making that possible for you to see us and not just hear us. But most importantly, we've got Mark Grody in studio, Mr. Bears himself.
Bears. A shout out to Layla Rahimi. As you mentioned, I am in for her today. She is one of the featured speakers at the 2025 Barrett Sports Media Summit. It's very radio and television all weekend long. If you hear people walking around doing time checks and giving stuff away and doing walk-up songs and things like that, you understand that it's very radio, very television in the city of Chicago this weekend.
Wait a minute. What's your walk-up song?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough question. You put me on the spot. I got a lot of songs that I would use as my... What's the song that we play in the Grody time thing? You know the song
I'm talking about, Steve Aoki, Boneless.
Steve Aoki. Give a little bit of that if you can. Yeah, this is a badass song. You will hear it in a second. I first heard this song at a Bears game. Like, you know, it's a hype-up song. So you will hear it here.
Like you in the press box just hanging out, and you're like, oh, that's a catchy tune.
It hit me, man. Right here. It's coming. Come on, Steve. This is not it. This is not the part.
Okay, so you're gonna know a specific part of the song.
This is the build-up right here. It's coming. It's going to happen. This would be my walk-up song. Steve Aoki.
This is when all the people get on their feet and they start clapping. It's kind of like the when Rizzo would come to the plate.
Right. Well, Rizzo's was something. It's coming. It's coming. Is it coming? Maybe it's not coming.
Well, I mean, it's your song. I'm waiting for you to tell me. You give me the cues.
This is not it. Okay, maybe.
Okay.
It's long buildup, man.
It's got to be coming
hell
soon,
of a long
right?
Build up. It's got to be happening at some point in time. Yeah, and then there's Maude. There it is.
There it is. Oh, okay.
You know
I
this.
Got you. Yes,
this is
I
it.
Know this. Yes.
We didn't need any of that other stuff, by the way. Yeah, just this.
Don't tell me about the labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Yes.
Show me Grody's baby.
Boom. Right there. Play the hits. That's it. All right. What's your walk-up song, Mr. Harris?
My walk-up song is be something very much like not as good.
Okay. Would it be something?
I have several walk-up
soft
songs.
Listening or something. Would
yeah,
it easy listening.
Yes,
really.
Yes, my walk-up song would literally be Luther Vandross's "A House Is Not a Home."
Okay,
and that's like a different. It's a different thing.
I actually appreciate that.
But I'm the guy who does sprint work, intervals, and runs to soft R&B from the '90s.
Wow,
that's what I do.
I can't do that. I gotta have everything's got to be like Aoki for me when I'm running.
Nah.
I mean, good on you to be able to do that. I can't possibly.
It's my decision to have a stress-free life, and I'm glad. That's why I'm glad I've got the Bears guy here because we're talking Bears. Well, we're talking baby Bears, aka Cubby Bears, and what I saw yesterday gave me pause because. Obviously, with the way that Tuesday night's game ended, you wanted a real bounce back on Wednesday. And the offense never got going, but I was more concerned heading into the game about Ben Brown and whether or not he could put together back-to-back quality starts. The good news is Ben Brown didn't look bad in any way. He had a career or season high?
Yeah, season high.
Season high, nine strikeouts.
And 103 pitches.
Career high, 103 pitches.
Yeah.
So both of those things were good. And I didn't want to get lost in those numbers, that part of it, because what I did notice was the walks. There were only two of them issued, but they both came at the start of innings, and they both came on home in a game in which you lost 3-1. And so I'm trying to measure those two things against, you know, what I saw with the nine strikeouts and say, Ben Brown, this was good enough. Or maybe not good enough. My thing has always been for a starting pitcher, if you can go six innings and give up three runs or less, you have kept your team in the ballgame. That's why they call it a quality start. Now, he only went five innings. But given that this was as many pitches as he had thrown, given the caliber of the opponent in the San Francisco Giants, I thought he pitched well enough to be like, this is a good enough start in this rotation. The problem is when you don't have Shota Imanaga, when you don't have Justin Steele, you need a little bit more from everybody on your staff. And I just don't know that he met my expectations. Not saying he wasn't good enough. He just didn't meet my expectations of Ben Brown to be the pitcher that the Cubs need in this moment.
Relative to the starts he had had previous to his last two starts.
Okay.
I'm okay with this. What I hated about yesterday for Ben Brown was the first inning. The walk, as you pointed out, the symbolic of it in the first and third or first and fourth innings.
First and fourth.
Leadoff walks, both those guys come around. The dreaded leadoff walk, as Hawk Harrelson used to always tell us. There it was, in effect. He threw 28 pitches in the first inning. That's what necessitated the 103 pitches. So I will take issue with the idea that it's a positive thing that he went 103 pitches. I'm glad that he was able to do it, and we'll see what his recovery is like, and if this is something now he's proven sort of accidentally out of necessity because of the worn-out bullpen from the previous debacle. debacle, as you put it. But that is like 28 pitches in the first inning. That's a bit of a problem for him. But look, we've saw some really, really terrific starts from Ben Brown last year, and these two have been okay. I think it's about what you expect probably from a guy who is, in theory, your number four or your number five starter. I think that's going to be fine. But as I've been saying, like, all of a sudden, you're in a position with all of these Cubs starters where before, when you had Shota and Justin Steele healthy, it was kind of like it was sort of extra that the rest of these guys could, like, that Jameson Taillon was so good, that Matthew Boyd has been so good. Now the pressure's on, and you are depending on those guys. We're starting the show talking about Ben Brown because the pressure is on him. Now we're expecting Ben Brown to be good because if the Cubs are going to keep winning without their top two starters, he's got to be good. So that's what's happening with the Cubs right now. The light is shining brightly on these guys until the reinforcements return or they find somebody else.
What a difference a week makes. Craig Counsell was telling us he's got to be better. He just does, because at that point you were looking at Ben Brown through the prism of, okay, this is our fifth starter, so he's at risk if he doesn't tighten up. He's not in that position anymore. Now he's going to go out there every fifth day, and he
now
better be good.
You can't leave. Yeah, you have to be good every time you go out there, and we will lead a show talking about you because the Cubs are a winning team at this point at 22-16.
So they lose the series to the Giants, which my whole thing is win your series at home, split on the road, you'll be fine. That'll get you 90-plus wins every season if you can do those two things. If you can get 40 or 41 wins on the road, and then you can get 54 wins on the road. So it's home, win them, road, split them. The other thing, though, is there were only four hits by the Cubs in this game on a day when nothing was leaving the yard. And Nico Hoerner had two of those hits, a couple of doubles. One, the wind seemed to be playing tricks on. And looking at that and looking at the top of the order and seeing a combined 0-for-10 from Ian Happ, Kyle Tucker, and Seiya Suzuki just lets you know that, you know, people are going to have to pick it up, especially ahead of this next series because it's another quality opponent. But people are going to have to pick it up. So now the Cubs have not only lost a series, but they've also lost two games in a row. And because you don't have necessarily what you had 2 weeks ago with that pitching staff, you're wondering, how are they going to win games? That wasn't a question before, because before it was, they're going to score 5, 6, 7, 8 runs and get good enough pitching, and then the bullpen will hopefully hold on. It seems like the formula might be changing a skosh. The Cubs, now, as it stands, when they score 3 or fewer runs, are 2-11. Mm. You got to be able to win a game occasionally with just 3 runs.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that it's not sustainable scoring 6 or 7 runs. And now that these top two pitchers like are out, as I said, you're putting the pressure on Boyd and Colin Ray and Taillon. And the offense. Now you have to score 6 or 7 runs a game. And when you have to score
it's a little
six
different,
or
isn't
seven
it?
Runs a game, it's a little bit different. It's not as fun. It's not as gluttonous feeling. Because sometimes it felt gluttonous. Like they didn't necessarily need 10 runs.
Save some for tomorrow.
Yeah, save some for tomorrow. I do think that there is some truth to that. And to your point, too, like I get it. Yesterday was a wacky day at Wrigley Field. The wind was blowing.
Are we talking about the weather again?
We're talking about the weather again. You hate the weather talk?
I just think if you're the Cubs, and we heard throughout last season and at the end of last season about how the weather played such a huge factor.
You're right.
It's your home park. Figure it out. You can't sit here and complain about the conditions of the game when both teams have to play under the same conditions. This isn't football where one side of the field, you're going half the game, so, oh, we got to strategize for this quarter, we're going to do this, and these are the plays we can't run, and we got to kick into the wind. That's not what this is. So let's stop pretending that's what this is. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
No. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. I got tired of hearing that, too. Jed Hoyer brought that up every chance he could about the way Wrigley Field played last year. I don't know if it's realistic to have the Cubs with a slugging mentality to all of a sudden just out of nowhere just stop, and now you got to play small ball on this day. The PCA RBI double was hilarious yesterday. I don't know if we have that, guys. If we could bring that up here in a second. But it was the most windy, because I haven't heard the Pat Hughes call of this, so I kind of want to hear it selfishly. Sorry I didn't bring this up in the pre-show meeting, guys. But
we got professionals back there.
So take your time, guys. But it was the PCA RBI double, completely wind-aided. The hilarious part about it was Willie Adames. Willie Adames, the shortstop for San Francisco. Let's listen to the audio, and then I'll fill in some blanks if I need to.
Here's the 0-2. Swinging a high pop fly, left field. Ramos coming in, still coming. That's a base hit. Crow Armstrong around second. He's going to hold there. A run scores. Cubs get a break. A pop fly double into very shallow left field. Ramos did not run in until too late, and he just couldn't get there. Running with two down and scoring on the play is Nico Horner. It's a double, and the Cubs are on the board. It's now a 3-1 ball game. That's a break.
Yeah, it is a break. And the part that was funny, too, is Willie Adames. You know, on a play like that, Willie Adames should be darting out to left field until the left fielder
calls him off.
And he decided to take one or two steps. He said, screw it. I'm going to let the left fielder get this ball. So it was a mess. And I might just be singling out Willie Adames because he's a Cubs killer. And I'm glad that he doesn't play for Milwaukee
anymore.
You hate
Cubs killers so
much. I do.
Much.
I do. You're right. Eugenio Suarez. I did a whole thing on him, I think, on one of our shows. Willie Adames maybe I enjoyed that moment for San Francisco because of selfish personal reasons.
Well, Robbie Ray was certainly a Cubs killer, holding him to three hits over six innings.
Cubs got the wrong Ray.
Yeah,
they got R-A-Y. We got R-E-A. We want the R-A-Y, Colin, please.
It was not great. But San Francisco's good, right? So
they are good.
I balanced that with, you know, the Giants had won 9 of their last 14 games now. And they're good. By the way, this segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris in here on Harris. And, Rahimi and Harris, because Layla has the day off because she's speaking and letting people know about the game. She's giving people free game today.
No doubt.
At the Barrett Sports Media Summit.
She'll be back tomorrow, too, by the way.
Yeah, so she will be. Yes, she'll be back. I'll be gone. You'll still be here.
I'll be here. I don't go anywhere.
So that's the way that works. But I look at the quality of opponent with the Giants and say, okay, I understand it. But now you got to look forward. And when you look forward, you see another hot team, the leaders of the National League East and the New York Mets. We're going to talk about why this series gives me major pause, why there are such things as pivotal games in May. And is Pete Crow Armstrong destined for revenge? Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, talking to you for the next 4 hours here on 670 The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the 1-2 pitch on the way. Nico bounces one toward third, charging Chapman, gloves it, and throws to first in time. And the Giants have taken 2 out of 3. They beat the Cubs today by a score of 3-1.
That's the final call from Pat Hughes. Also from Ron Coomer, Cubs Radio Network, right here on 670 The Score. As the Cubs fall to 5-4 in their last 9 games. They've now dropped 3 series at home. They've won 4 series, dropped 3, so they're 4-3 in series at home. And as I mentioned earlier, now 2-11 when scoring 3 or fewer runs this season. Next up, out of the frying pan into the fire, Music Man's number one supplier. It's the New York Mets. First place New York Mets, by the way. A Mets team and Cubs team that have 2 things in common and 2 things not in common. Do you want the common or the not common first, Mark?
Give me the non-common.
Okay, so the thing they don't have in common is the Cubs have played a really, really, really difficult schedule. The Mets have played a really, really, really easy schedule. As for the common, they are the only 2 teams in Major League Baseball who have yet to endure a 3-game losing streak. That, of course, could change if the Mets take game number one of the series.
Yeah. It's a must-win night. Is that what you're leading to? It's a must-win game tomorrow night for the Chicago Cubs, says Marshall Harris.
That's not what Marshall Harris said.
That's what you were saying backstage. Yeah. That's what we were talking about. You're like, must-win. I'm like, easy, man.
I said it's a pivotal game.
Oh, pivotal.
I was told
pivotal.
On the text line yesterday there's no such thing as a pivotal game in May. But let me tell you why this game
sure there are.
Is indeed pivotal
okay.
for the Cubs.
And then I'll tell you why.
One, they haven't lost 3 games in a row this season. Two, they're now in danger of doing that. This is only the 4th time all season they've lost 2 games in a row. And here's what's different about this. Before, the Cubs had a guy in their rotation named Shota Imanaga. He was, for all intents and purposes, their stopper. The Cubs, 28-9 when Shota Imanaga starts a game over the last 2 seasons. That is a stellar record. Meanwhile, Robbie Ray showed you how important a stopper is. The Giants, now 8-0 when Robbie Ray takes the hill this year.
Look at that.
So when you have a guy of that caliber that you know you're probably going to win because he's on the mound and gives you a better than regular chance of winning a ball game, that's good. They don't have that anymore. They don't have Imanaga, and they don't have Justin Steele. So you go down a little depth chart of your starting pitching. Who's the next guy up to be that stopper role? Well, his name is Jameson Taillon. Guess who pitches in that series opener against the Mets? Oh, it would be Jameson Taillon. So now he has a chance to really go out there and prove that he can be the guy that we all imagined him to be when the Cubs signed him to a free agent contract. And I think this is a pivotal moment because if you lose this game with Taillon on the hill, and then there's a possibility that it's a bullpen game or maybe Cade Horton's first start. Either way, things can snowball very quickly. So they need to stop the bleeding in game one of this. Also, did I mention the Mets have this tied for the second best record at home in Major League Baseball, 13-3.
That's pretty good.
So all that adds up to a pivotal game one against the Mets.
I have no problem with you using the word pivotal. You know what? I'll say.
Oh, is it must win?
It's must win time. And here's why. Here's why. This is not just completely going off the rails here by any means. As you may recall, last year, the Chicago Cubs had a pretty good April. They were closing in on, believe it or not, even with all the catastrophic closing situations the Cubs had last year. They were pretty good early in the season, and guess when it fell off the rails? In the month of May. And then you still had bad things going on with Adbert Alzolay and Heart Attack Hector. And I heard, by the way, I heard David Haw call Ryan Presley today. Did you hear this? Ryan Stressley.
I mean,
it's so Haw. I don't know. Maybe
he's been
he got
a bit
that
stressful. He's been a bit stressful.
The nicknames for Cub pitchers are back.
Yeah. Yeah,
is that a good thing or a bad thing, though?
I love Haw's nicknames. Nobody does it better. He's got that the newspaper headline mentality where you got to have the cute little zingers in there. So I give full credit to him. So the month of May has been a problem for him. And you're right about, like, not only has Jameson Taillon been pitching well, he's been pitching well against pretty good teams. Milwaukee, which is, by the way, 500 now. Philadelphia pitched very well. That was his best start of the season. I think it was a strong seven innings. Even against Arizona previous to that, and I think San Diego before that. So he's kind of been tested against these strong teams. So that's a pretty good guy to have going into a team in New York, as you said, that is 13-3 at home. And I also love the idea that, hey, man, Evan Roberts can condescend to the Cubs all he wants from WFAN. But guess what? The Cubs are the test for the Mets going into tonight with the schedule. So I love that concept that here come the big Cubbies into New York. And good luck to the Mets taking this on, because it's a must-win game for the Cubs tomorrow night.
That is the voice of Mark Grody. He's in with us here on Rahimi and Harris. Layla has the day off. So you mentioned the Cubs being a challenge for the Mets because they haven't really faced stiff competition. Meanwhile, we all just want to know who's starting the game on Saturday.
That's right.
Well, Craig Counsell, immediately after yesterday's game, was asked about the Cubs' plan for the starting rotation.
Do you have a starter for Saturday?
No.
Does flexing pitching today take account
of that
mix? No. Will you make that decision tomorrow?
We're going to huddle up after the game here and talk about it, yes.
Okay. So
finally, somebody asked the right question, I guess. Bruce, no. No. No.
Here's why that was interesting, that sequence of questions. He didn't say they were going to necessarily make a decision after the game or after that post-game media availability. He said they were going to huddle up and talk about it. I don't know that they came up with a direct result, like a solution for the problem, because it is a problem. Who's starting Saturday? They still have 48 hours roughly to get that figured out. The thing that struck me as interesting is flex and pitch both on Wednesday and Tuesday.
Yes.
So he's pitched back-to-back games. Now, he only pitched an inning each time out, but he wasn't ruled out by Craig Counsell as being a guy who pitches on Saturday. The Cubs have him stretched out. It could be several things. He could pitch the start of a bullpen game. He could be an opener and someone could piggyback off of him. Or he could just be a regular reliever and somebody else makes the start. I think that's interesting because I've been calling for Cade Horton to come out and just do his thing. I've seen enough from Cade Horton in watching his improvement down in Iowa, watching his pitch usage. The control has gotten so much better in a short period of time. So, for those of you who don't know the book on Cade Horton, he was a 2022 first round draft pick. He needs a start. He's had six starts in AAA, a 1.24 ERA. Now, he's had some injuries. You remember he had Tommy John surgery in college.
Yeah. Shoulder injury last year
that cost him most of last season. But the Cubs now, with a chance to let this guy turn loose. He threw 78 pitches his last time out. He's been in the high 70s. Seems like that's enough for him to come out, because what I don't want to see is a Saturday bullpen game against a really good offense in the Mets, and then that puts you behind the eight ball if things go poorly for Sunday's game, as opposed to getting a good four, five, who knows, maybe even six innings out of Cade Horton. Last time he went out, Mark, he struck out five over six innings of two-hit ball, just one walk. In fact, he hasn't given up more than three hits in an outing all season. Hitters are hitting 129 against him. And I know it's AAA. I know it's not the major leagues. But he's got swing and miss stuff. He had 10 swings and misses last time out, 9 the outing before that. He looks like a guy who's ready to go. Don't waste his bullets at AAA anymore. You have an actual need for him, plug him in. Before, there was no need. Now there's a need for him.
What say you?
I'm there. And I wasn't there a couple of weeks ago. I'm still worried about the shoulder thing. And, of course, that's still going to be in the back of my head. I was worried about the idea that he is being rushed after everything that he has been through. But, yeah, a .124 ERA over six starts. He has earned his way. And in a winning season, you can't look at Chris Flexen, you know, that doesn't really inspire much. Jordan Wicks is just not there yet. I mean, he did his most recent start was actually good. Five innings, no runs, five hits. He did strike out five, but Wicks is not ready. Cade Horton is the most ready pitcher going into a winning team. And if we're in this like area where the Cubs are kind of scuffling a little bit, that is your best option. So we're on the same page with Cade Horton.
And to be clear, I want Cade Horton to start Saturday. There could be an instance where the Cubs use Chris Flexen as some type of opener and then have him piggyback off of him, Cade Horton, and
right.
pitch like maybe the second through the fifth or sixth or seventh inning, whatever you can get out of him to take the pressure off of making the start. But I think he can handle it. I think he's ready to go. I think you need to know if this guy can help you this season, and this is the time to do it. You mentioned the Mets being this kind of a test. Really, this is the last of the three games I'm worried about. After that, you know who's up next?
Is it the White Sox or is it Miami? Or is it...
Or is it both?
Or is it both?
They've got
don't know the order.
Three at home against Miami.
There you go.
Three at home against the White Sox.
There you go.
And then three on the road at Miami.
Oh.
Does that sound a little different than what you've seen so far for the Cubs schedule?
That sounds like eating time to me right there. That sounds like a big bacon double cheeseburger is what that sounds like.
But you don't want to go into that nine-game stretch not feeling good about yourself. So give yourself a chance to win all three of these games by Tyone in game one and then coming back with Cade Horton in game two, and then you've got Matt Boyd. And I like the sound of those three starters against the Mets.
What about the theory of start Cade Horton against one of those soft teams just to ease him in against Miami or the White Sox?
I think if you do that, you're endangering yourself of losing two, maybe even more games against the Mets because you didn't put yourself in a position to win the game. I'm a win tomorrow's game guy.
Yeah, but you have all those delicious meatballs to make up for the loss, the potential series loss to the Mets.
No.
Some marinara sauce on there, maybe dip it in some ranch.
You just lost to a team that you could potentially see in the playoffs. You want your strongest showings against those teams to give yourself confidence and also to continue to ride the wave. You don't want to lose back-to-back series. That's what you don't want to do. That's not something that they've had to worry about at all this season. They've yet to lose back-to-back series this season. So I think this is a perfect time to get your groove together, if you will, and especially if you're hitting. Like you said, you don't want to put all the pressure on the bats to do all the work because the pitching's not getting it done.
Yeah.
You said that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's one thing. Now, you're wondering, okay, the Mets, they paid guys a lot of money to hit. So earlier, WFAN host Evan Roberts joined Mullion Hall. He provided a scouting report on what we can expect from the Mets offense.
Top three guys in the order are tremendous. Francisco Lindor is not off to the cold start he's used to. He's off to another really – I mean, he's playing basically like the second half of last year, so he's been amazing. You mentioned Pete Alonso's playing like an MVP, and even though Soto hasn't lived up to the expectations, you look at his numbers, he's still fine. It's after that. It's the protection after the top three guys in the order. So Brandon Nimmo is taking a lot of heat for leaving small countries on base. He leads the league in leaving guys on base. Mark Vientos had a great year last year. He has not backed that up to start off this year. They haven't gotten a lot of production out of the DH spot. So it's really – it's about the lineup, and I think a big part of that is the expectation coming into this season was the Mets are going to match. They're going to have one of the best lineups in baseball, and statistically, it hasn't worked out that way. So I think the biggest issue most Mets fans have had is just from the production after the top three.
All right, so you hear that, and that's why, even though I don't want Cade Horton to come in relief, I could understand the argument for why maybe Chris Flexen starts the game to get through that dangerous top of the order the first time through. But at the same time,
why would you want Flexen, the lesser pitcher, to go against the only three good hitters in the lineup? No thanks.
Okay, so
you could lose the game in the first inning.
You'd rather see Cade Horton out the shoot.
I don't get the logic. Put Chris Flexen in as the opener?
I agree.
The lesser pitcher against, as Evan Roberts said, was the only three guys that are hitting in the lineup?
Mark, I agree with you. I just don't want Cade Horton to have they know Cade Horton's mental makeup better than I do. So
now you're worried about Cade Horton. He can't handle those first three guys.
I'm worried about the Cubs. Like, Cade Horton's a part of the Cubs.
Right. So, but that sounds more like then you'd rather have just have him pitch against the Marlins and the White Sox.
No.
That's your worry.
I'd rather have the length.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the length of Cade Horton out there starting. I'm just saying, I'm trying to understand why they wouldn't pitch Cade Horton, looking at reasons why they might not do it.
Okay.
I want Cade Horton.
Okay. Well, I'm convinced more than ever, having heard that, hearing about the potency of the top three guys, Chris Flexen, take a seat, pal. I don't want to see that. You can come in if the game is 9-1 in the sixth inning.
Chris Flexen's done an outstanding job in his very limited role so far for the Cubs. I hope that continues.
And he filled innings for the White Sox last year, too.
Thanks for reminding me about the White Sox, because I had forgotten about... We will talk White Sox later in this show, but up next, I don't know if y'all saw what happened in the NBA last night, but there was a team that is defending its NBA crown that is now looking at an 0-2 deficit thanks to back-to-back 20-point leads gone in the flash, in the blink of an eye. Why one of the players on that team, I don't want to hear about anymore. That's when... We come back with more Raheemy and Harris. Mark Grody in on 670 The Score.
Plenty of time here. It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0. And defense again at the end.
Who else but Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller giving it to you on a Wednesday night as the Celtics watch their 20-point lead evaporate against the New York Knicks, who now lead the series 2-0, and they haven't even played a game at Madison Square Garden yet. That's the story here as we're back on Raheemy and Harris. Mark Grody in as Layla Raheemy has the day off. And Mark, I'm watching that. Mikal Bridges coming across, putting the clamps on Jason Tatum, who was thinking game-winning shot. Who's ready to yell, Kobe? But he didn't get the B out of his mouth. He didn't get the B out of his mouth because he didn't even get the shot off. Because Mikal Bridges says, I got that. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, and the first thing that popped into my mind was a conversation I'd had a week ago where someone was trying to make the argument that Jason Tatum should rightfully be the face of the NBA in this moment because Wemby hasn't come of age yet, Anthony Edwards hasn't won anything, and LeBron and Steph are old. That was the argument place, and he's the reigning NBA champion is Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. He's an Olympic gold medalist. And I said, that man couldn't even get off the bench for Steve Kerr's Olympic squad. What are you talking about? That man couldn't even win finals MVP. And now after watching two games of this in the Eastern Conference semifinals, I'm done with Jason Tatum.
That man had 13 points last night.
Is that a lot? 13?
No. Okay. It seemed pretty inconsequential, too.
It seemed very inconsequential, especially with the way things ended up in that particular matchup. I just think... We work so hard to try to get these guys to be faces of the league. Like, who would you say is the face of the league in Major League Baseball right now? You've got two choices, really.
Is it still Bryce? No.
What?
Oh, Shohei. I went blank. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani.
It's either Ohtani or it's Judge. I'd argue it's Ohtani because he's coming off a 50-50 season and he's going to pitch this year. He's going to be back pitching, but Judge is out here hitting...
Yeah, mountains.
Mammoth home runs, if you will.
We'll get to that later.
And then in the NFL, who's the face of the league?
I would probably have to say the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could have been a Bear, that guy?
Yeah, it could have been a bear. Yeah, am I right on that one?
I think you probably are.
Yeah.
Still, even though they lost, they're always there. They're omnipresent. Some people might even say it's Travis Kelce because he's just culturally more famous than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, okay.
Who his girlfriend is. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. But I would go Mahomes for the NFL. Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm looking at stuff like this, and Jason Tatum just doesn't stack up. And so far in the series, the Boston Celtics do not stack up. So I would like everyone to give due where it is earned. The Knicks look like a better basketball team than the Celtics. And I don't know if they'll win the series or not. I mean, everything points in the favor that they should win the series. They've already stolen two games on the road. But if the Knicks go on to advance here and knock the Celtics off, I don't know if Joe Mazzulla will be fired, the head coach of the Celtics. I just know that Jason Tatum won't be in those conversations anymore. Never have to worry about that again. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say that that's probably a fair assessment, yeah.
I think it's partially my thing is I think Jaylen Brown's better than Jason Tatum, and that's a debatable point. He is the reigning finals MVP. And I just think that the Celtics had a nice run, and they may have other runs, but I just don't find them compelling. Jason Tatum's not exciting off the court. He's not exciting.
I think people have like forced the excitement, like when it comes to Tatum, like they because he's easy to forget about. Like you're probably not the only person, but they're like, let's not forget about Jason Tatum. Now it's time to forget about Jason Tatum again.
Yeah, at least for a night. I mean, I'm not going to forget what he and his teammates did from three. The stats, 25 for 100 so far from three in this series.
Is that? Yeah, I think we came up with 15 for 60 in game one, 10 for 40. I guess last night.
Yeah, that'd be 25 for 100. That's 25%.
Boy, that's pretty ugly.
Live by the three, die by the three?
That's dying by the three, yeah.
It's
are the Knicks going to win this series, by the way?
I think they are.
They are, okay.
I think the Knicks are going to win this series.
All right.
I think the Cat trade looks better than I ever thought it would, the trade for Karl Anthony Towns. And I don't know. The Timberwolves should win their series now that Steph's out. So you could have a Timberwolves Knicks final. That's still possible. Although we did finally have a home team win in the Eastern Conference semifinal, in the conference semifinals for the first time last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Ooh. And they blew the Nuggets out the frame.
87 first half points in that game for the Thunder. Oh my God.
I mean, you remember they lost game one because Aaron Gordon hits the big three. But my goodness.
Yeah.
An embarrassment of riches.
Jokic only 17?
Yeah. They got a lot of bodies they can throw at him, whether it's Chet, whether it's Isaiah Hartenstein. Listen, I'm just very happy because I feel like this NBA postseason has been as exciting as any I can remember in recent memory.
I feel like they're always exciting. Like every year, the real NBA people come out and like it's like the most exciting thing ever, the NBA postseason.
Well, we'll find out. Only one game tonight. It is the Warriors without Steph Curry taking on Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll see if Ant Edwards does better than his one first half point that he had in the series opener the other night. So that's something we will keep an eye on. But you know what? Mark Grody's here, and that means we should probably talk about football.
Sure.
Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah.
Well, what if we talk about football, but we bring someone else into the conversation as well?
I am down with that.
So former NFL quarterback Sean King is going to join us on the other side to talk about where this quarterback situation is, if he is thinking about how Caleb Williams can overtake Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback from the 2024 NFL draft, and a whole lot more. That's when Rahimi and Harris returns later with the day off. Mark Grody in on 670 The Score.